Our next case is Wisner v. Google, LLC, case number 21-2228. Mr. DePreter, you've reserved 3 minutes of your time for rebuttal, is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, you may proceed, sir.
May it please the Court, Matthew DePreter, on behalf of Appellant Sholem Wisner. We're here today because the District Court improperly shifted the burden to the inventor to prove that his patent was not abstract. When you look at the district court's opinion below, one of the things that the court specifically stated was that in the amended complaint, he was ordering Mr. Wisner to specifically show why the patent was not abstract. And by doing that, the district court was coming in with the attitude that the patent already was abstract and that through the second amended complaint, the inventor had to actually affirmatively prove that it was not, thereby proving a negative, which was an improper procedure for a 12b6 motion, which is the what Google had filed, alleging that the patent was invalid. And due to that procedural mistake, the district court ultimately ended up focusing on the second amended complaint in its entirety during the decision that the district court handed down. And you can see that in the opinion where throughout the entire analysis of the opinion, it focuses on what is pleaded in the second amended complaint. And we got to the second amended complaint because of issues with the first amended complaint.
Even if all of that is incorrect, if the district court is still right that the claims are directed to abstract ideas, then isn't all that harmless?
Well, I think that the district court didn't actually look at the claim, which is what ended up resulting.
I know, but at least at step one, it's a legal question, which we get to look at de novo. So if we think this patent is directed to an abstract idea and there's nothing at step two that makes it ineligible, all this procedural stuff doesn't matter, does it?
I think ultimately if...
you have to show to us that this patent claims subject matter eligible ideas, or, you know, it's eligible.
Yes.
I just don't understand why we're talking about the folk. Not that I disagree with you. It did seem a little odd about just looking at the complaint rather than the patent itself, which is what we normally look to determine eligibility, but... why aren't you talking about why this patent is eligible or not?
We will get to that point, Your Honor. And the reason that we started off with the procedural part is because I think that it then skips the analysis that we would have had the benefit of below with the court actually going through claim by claim and showing what its analysis was. Because when you look at the district court's opinion, it summarizes all the patents in a single sentence saying, well, it's just a travelogue, and then it proceeds on. And by not going through the analysis that it was supposed to go through, just claim by claim for each of these patents.
On this last point that you just made, Counselor, do you have any legal authority that it's error for a district court to consider all the patents, all the asserted patents at once in the manner that you're claiming they did?
Well, I think you look at what is the proper 101 analysis, and the 101 analysis, according to Alice, says that you have to look at what does the claim say. And so look at what the claim says for a particular patent. And it's not that you can't look at all patents together, but you have to at least acknowledge what the claims of the patents say. And rather than look at what the claims were in this particular instance, the district court said, well, the patents just generally are travelogue.
And you agree, though, that you have to argue those claims separately if you want the court to consider them separately, right?
Yes.
And I think you did argue them separately here.
Yes, I think you absolutely do. You have to say, well, these are the claims that are at issue, and these are the claims that we'd like to go through and proceed to discuss. And
we understand that. But I'm going to agree with Judge Hughes right now and say I think that you ought to address right now why certain claims, I think you've got some claims that are directed to obtaining location information and then creating a travel log.
Sure.
And then you have some where you have, you know, tracking physical location and then having an improved search technique. So maybe you should address those claims specifically.
Let's do that. Let's go into the 905 patent. And the one of the big things, like I said, the district court saying, well, this is just a travelog. Google's big point throughout this proceeding has been it's just a travelog. And the claims for the 905 specifically are not just a, quote, travelog. A travelog is, I came to the Federal Circuit on the 7th, and here I am in D.C. That's my travel here. I'm the one recording it. I can write that on a piece of paper. That's not what the claims are directed to. The claims are directed to a specific way of improving internet search functionality. And you have to think about these claims were filed in 2007, so that's the time set that we're looking at. And in 2007, there's no dispute that when you performed an internet search, the search results were based on the number of clicks that a certain website would get. So if I search for a particular, if I search for shoes, it's going to show me what website was clicked on the most when a search for shoes had previously been run. And so
ranking based upon popularity.
Popularity. And
is that an abstract idea?
I think that just ranking based on popularity, yes.
Okay.
So the problem with that is, if you had a popular website, you were on the front page of a search, and so people clicked on it, and it just kept being more and more popular. And what the inventors said was, how do we get the little guy that isn't getting a lot of clicks, that isn't getting a lot of views, up into the ranking where that person can then be clicked on, where he will be seen? And the way in which the inventors determined that they could do that was by actually combining physical interactions that people would have.
Location histories.
Right. But it was not just my physical going someplace.
Other people's location histories too.
Theirs and mine and vendors. So you had
Your new system is ranking based upon location histories of the user and other users rather than popularity.
Well, commonality among members of a group having proven that they have actually physically gone to a location. So there's a redundancy there.
Why isn't that just a different abstract idea on how to rank search results?
Because in the context of an internet search result, you're looking at a computerized system that is just massive amounts of data.
You're not going to help yourself with me when you talk about using computers to process massive amounts of data, because
right.
We've held in intellectual ventures, we've held in a bunch of cases, that just because a computer makes computing massive amounts of data possible when it wasn't done in the physical realm doesn't make it eligible if all you're doing is implementing an abstract idea. So the idea of using user location data and other people's location data and the intersection between the two, what's non-abstract about that?
It's the way in which the methods are accomplished in these particular patents, which is you have to set up a system that is able to gather that individual's location history and other people's location history and have the vendors part of the membership group, so that when the search is run, you ultimately do end up achieving the prioritized ranking for a search that I, as the individual, am searching for.
So what in what you just told me is not either not abstract or not using routine conventional equipment?
It's not abstract because it is a technological improvement of internet searching. And that's why
I go back to... Let me ask you this. If you have an internet search engine, and whether or not it's patentable or not, if all you're doing is saying, instead of the search engine we have now, we are going to use this abstract idea to reorder the data in the way the search engine used to do it, is that making it patent eligible? Can an abstract idea apply to a pre-existing search engine make it patent eligible, in your view?
Can an abstract idea be applied to an internet search engine and therefore be patent eligible?
Isn't this something more?
I think
that has to be added at step two, something that isn't an abstract idea.
And I think there is something more.
Well, that's what I asked you, though, and you didn't seem to answer it. You seem to use buzzwords that you pulled out of our case law
without explaining the specifics of, I mean, as I understand it, you're not claiming that you have created the method for location tagging, right?
That's correct.
Right. You're using phones and you're using, you know, addresses, whatever. That's all conventional. And the computer's conventional. All the hardware is conventional. Is there any non-conventional hardware?
No, there's no hard non-conventional hardware, but I don't think that that precludes patentability in the same way
The problem I'm having is if all you're doing is using conventional hardware to implement an abstract idea, that's prototypical Alice that says using computers to implement an abstract idea is not eligible. So what in your method is either not abstract or not conventional equipment?
And I would say it's the total order combination of the pieces.
This is my problem.
Here.
You're just using buzzwords drawn from the case law without explaining the specifics here. What do you mean the ordered combination? Do you mean the ordered combination of the specific abstract idea of using user and other people's location histories when they intersect?
Yes, because
a computer. Well, is that all you have?
No, because it's not just we're using other people's information. It's the specific way in which that is used to ultimately achieve the prioritized search result. And here,
when they intersect and then you have a separate ranking system? Isn't it more just, to me, it sounds like it's data characterization all the way down. Isn't that intellectual ventures?
No, because what we're doing here is ensuring that the information that's being used for the search engine actually does provide the prioritized search in a reliable way. So, exactly. How do we do it? Is you first, you have the telecommunications system and your mobile phone so that I can gather.
Routine conventional.
Right. But I can gather information that way, and it guarantees that when I go to the location, that the vendor, who's also a member of the group, can transmit data that the vendor decides it wants to transmit, comes to me. That's part of the membership organization. The same thing happens when a secondary person goes and visits other vendor members. So we have guaranteed transmission of information that the vendors determine is going to be transmitted to each user. Okay, that's the benefit of the membership group. Now, when I go and perform my search...
Is it the membership group that you're saying is the non-abstract idea?
It is part of the ordered combination that ultimately provides the innovation. So now that I have reliability of the data that's being transmitted to me because the vendor is the one that's choosing it and sending it to my phone and the reference user's phone when they travel and actually go to a physical location, when I run the search, it looks for other members of the network. It finds my reference person who has information that's been dictated by the vendor. It pairs the two of them, and then it searches for another location that reference person has actually been to. And I'm guaranteed to know that he's been there because he has to go there in order to get the vendor's information downloaded into his phone and uploaded into his database.
Are the claims directed to a specific method or algorithm?
I think that is the method, as I'm describing it here. And it's similar to, this is where it's going, it's similar to Deer, in which the... formation of you ended up with a better rubber at the end, and it was looking at what variables do I need, and it would sense the variables in the mold. There wasn't
any... Can I interrupt you for a minute? Your view, as I understand it, is that this is an improved technique for searching, and it's like Deer, even though it's software,
right?
But it is resulting in a better and improved search result.
Exactly.
That is your view.
That is my view.
Okay.
Yes.
And is that what, so there's kind of like a fundamental disagreement on whether improving search technology itself could be is that an abstract idea, or is it a technological improvement to a technological problem? And how would you characterize it?
I think that it is the order combination that is the totality of our method, the way in which we do it, resulting in the better search result that is the invention.
And so that satisfies step one in your view?
Yes.
And what evidence do you have to support that? I mean, this is another case where on dismissal we have to accept the statements in the specification and in your complaint as true. What statements would you refer to for the support that this is improving search technology?
Essentially that there's been no dispute over the entirety of the briefing that the search techniques in 2007 were these popularity-based ranking
engines. That was abstract.
Just the idea, the concept of popular search results.
So is the concept of location-based results also abstract?
If you go that broad, yes, and you say, well, a concept of location-based results, search results would be abstract, but
is a concept of location-based results that uses the intersection between a user and other member users' location results not abstract?
I think that you're getting closer to the non-abstract because...
I just don't understand that. That sounds like crowdsourcing to me. Like, if all I'm relying on is my list of places, the restaurants I want to go to, if I keep a list, that's location-based results. I've been there. I keep a list. I know when I go back to that city, these are places. If I also call 10 of my friends that travel and say, give me your lists and of these different places, and I want to cross-reference them to see if they like them too, isn't that just another abstract idea of getting crowdsourced results versus individual results?
See, in that situation, you're relying on your friends to actually tell you.
That sounds like an abstract idea to me.
So I understand your position and what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think it's our case law's position too. I think you have to do more than just come up with the abstract idea to say this is better search results. Better search results, you know, I mean, search results in and of itself is not necessarily patent eligible. I mean, you seem to concede that search results that just show based on popularity, if that's all they're claiming. So if you're ranking them based upon some other abstract idea, I don't see how the fact that it may be a better result is the kind of technological improvement we found in cases like Core Wireless and InFish and the security profiles in FinGen. It sounds much more like intellectual ventures to me.
And here, I think that you have to see, or you have to look at how the search is improved through the membership in the group among the vendors and the people searching. And that's what ultimately leads to the prioritized better search result. Because in your example, you say, well, I call my friend.
Is the searching improved in a non-abstract way? Or is it just crowdsourcing among a member group?
I don't think it's crowdsourcing because it is dependent on being a member of the group and having the vendors dictate the information that's coming in.
Okay, you've eaten up all your time. I'll restore your 3-minute rebuttal. Let's hear from the other side now. Mr. Gregorian.
Thank you, Your Honors. Todd Gregorian on behalf of Appellee Google LLC. May it please the court. I'd like to start where opposing counsel left off. He's argued essentially one limitation of one of the four patents, which is the comparison of one person's location history against another. That is only in the 905 patent, and that is undoubtedly an abstract concept.
Counsel, what do we do about the fact that the specification talks about that one embodiment, which is a more specific use of these physical encounters in order to have an improved search result or improved search technology. What about the fact that it says, the specification says things like, this is an improved method of searching the World Wide Web. Am I supposed to take it that all ways of searching for the World Wide Web are just now we're going to say all of those are abstract from now on?
No, Your Honor, and there are certainly technical solutions in search, as you can imagine my client would take the position.
I think so.
It's just that this is also an abstraction. As the court said in Apple v. Amaranth, there are different levels of generality at which you can describe an abstraction. And that is all that's going on here.
I can see your point. I want to, for the 9/11 patent, which is just maybe prioritizing based on return visit, or maybe for the 9202 patent, which is just collecting data on of your physical places that you've visited. But what about that 905? It's pretty specific about the particular technique that it purports to be improving the search technology.
Right. So it's two pieces. One is that technique is an abstraction about what data to collect and compare. And number two, there's no technical implementation in the claims or the specification for that technique.
If there was a specific algorithm that says step one, you do this, step two, you do this, step three, you do this, and so forth, would that be patent eligible?
Potentially, if there's some unconventional element or ordering of that algorithm.
Okay, why isn't this claim an algorithm in written form?
Right, so because it is pure abstraction with no implementation. So if I
why is there no? Go ahead.
Let me just take those in order, right? So Judge Reyna asked, can you do it in real life? You certainly can, right? So a member group, here are the members of the Federal Circuit Bar. I say, I went to eat at Joe's Stone Crab. Has anyone else eaten at Joe's Stone Crab? And someone says yes. And I've identified another member who has visited the same location. And I say, where else in D.C.?
No, try Chicago. Hey, you and I have a common like of Joe's, so I'm going to Chicago next week. Where should I go?
Right. And that's the abstraction, right? It's something that can be
awfully easy to do in hindsight.
Yes, but that's where we get to the second point, which is if there were some technological...
Does it matter if that's been done before? Or are we just going to say, I think I can imagine a scenario in which this could be done, therefore it's abstract?
It doesn't. I mean, it certainly was done before, but that we need to accept for purposes of this case that it was novel. But it's a novel abstraction.
There was prior techniques, and there's a bunch of evidence about what was in existence in 2007 as far as search techniques, right?
There are a bunch of allegations about what...
Yeah, well, there are allegations. Right. I agree, but I have to accept them as true. The district court had to accept them.
Understood. And all those go to show is the essential claim of the other side, which is that this is a novel idea, a novel abstraction. And where you get to ineligibility is that there's no technical implementation in search engines to carry out the steps of the abstract
method. What would the technical implementation look like as opposed to first do this step, then maintain this,
sure,
then collect this, then analyze the data this way? What implementation? Tell me exactly how you would have to fix this claim to make it eligible.
Right. It would have to tell you how you use a computer to get those results rather than claiming just those results. Let me refer to figure 9 of appendix 27. That is supposed to spell out this supposed solution. And figure 9 consists of two users' past visits compared side by side and then a list of results. And the URL that comes from the useful member that appears in the results is listed at spot number 3. And all the specification says about this is, well, that's higher than it would have been otherwise located in a normal search engine. There is no technical detail about how do you get to that result, why that result is third rather than first. So I think a technical solution that implements this idea would describe how you go about weighting geographic information against all the other considerations that go into a search engine and some description of how to carry that out in software other than just claiming the result itself.
So if there was a specific algorithm or if this was a means plus function claim that confined it to a specific way of doing things, that might be a technological solution in the way InFish found, for instance.
Yes, Judge Hughes, that's our essential point, is that here there's nothing approaching that.
In 905, it doesn't really have any specific algorithm, does it? It just talks about comparing user and other member data and cross-referencing them in some way, but doesn't say what way.
Exactly. There is no how.
So when it says responding to the search and query by generating a computerized search result that increases the ranking of the first stationary member as follows, and it says, you know, I don't want to read the whole claim to you, but it does have about 10 lines where it says how you do it. Your view is that's not good enough because increasing the ranking is too broad?
No, Your Honor. And as an initial matter, I'd say Electric Power Group holds, though lengthy and numerous.
I understand. I'm trying to really get down to, this is the one claim that really bothers me.
Understood.
And I'm trying to get down to understanding. To me, this one is more of a specific search technique, and that I'm looking at it at a dismissal on the pleading stage. And the question is whether there's enough here, and you're telling me there needs to be more and that this is not specific enough. It doesn't have an algorithm. But when I see that it says you're going to determine a ranking based on the reference individual member's physical location history, search the person's physical location history, and reference members. I mean, I don't want to read it all to you, but I want to know why. To me, I could write that out as an algorithm, and it would be an algorithm. Maybe a pretty basic one, but it's an algorithm. So why? Where do I draw the line?
Right, and it's between, if there were some implementation of that in software, it might be eligible. But those steps...
But even under means plus function, when we have software, this is sufficient enough of an algorithm to satisfy the corresponding structure in the claim. So where do we draw the line on how specific the algorithm has to be?
I would concede that there is a need to draw the line. And that this just falls on the abstract side of the line because it is just describing something that humans can do.
But aren't these methods that are being described steps?
Yes, Your Honor, but there are steps to carry out the abstract idea of me comparing my restaurant visits to someone else in this
like memory. Alice, intermediated settlement. It had a bunch of steps to how to do the intermediated settlement in Alice, but it still was just implementing the abstract idea on a computer.
That's correct, Your Honor. I would agree with that. I'd like to address the argument about membership groups. Making this somehow non-abstract. That again is just dictated by the abstract idea itself. As Judge Hughes mentioned in the last case, every case that's just about deciding what data to select says that that's an abstract process. Here there's nothing in the specification that talks about the membership group yielding any of the benefits that Wiesner argued for on appeal in the briefing, that of making the data more reliable or limited. It's just not in the record at all, not alleged in the second amended complaint.
How do you think software can be made eligible generally under Alice? I mean, this is not specifically tied to the case, but it's the problem here. These seem like good ideas. It seems like they might even have been new ideas. But I have a hard time finding distinguishing Alice and all our case law. But nonetheless, it seems like there should be some room for patentability here. Is it the way the claims are written? Or is it just that somebody besides us is going to have to change the law?
Well, so, I mean, this is probably the biggest challenge facing the court in the 101 area is where to draw the line between abstractness and concreteness in software. I don't think this falls very close to the line in that me comparing my past visits against someone else's past visits is just a real world activity. And the claim has just written a claim to that result without describing. There's nothing in the specification or claims about how search engine operates, how algorithms operate.
For purposes of this case, you are agreeing, though, that the claim subject matter is novel, or it's not conventional.
Well, so it's tricky, Your Honor, because novel
on dismissal. I mean, for purposes of a dismissal.
For purposes of the motion, we need to accept what's alleged, which is that in 2007, no one had search engines that used the data
had this particular technique for determining search results. The claimed method.
That's the allegation, but again, that is just the argument that the idea itself is novel. That the idea of comparing member information to see what sort of visits you have in common, and then relying on that person.
But you are agreeing. I mean, your view is it's abstract, right? And it doesn't matter whether it's conventional or not. That's what I understand. I just want to make sure I understand your view.
Right. Where I'm tripping up is novel and conventional. Just
I changed it to conventional. I withdraw my question and ask you, do you agree that it's not conventional?
So I agree that the idea itself is novel. I don't agree that there are any unconventional steps at step two of the Alice test.
Okay. I understand that.
Okay. Finally, I guess I'd like to address the claim of procedural error. The record is a little bit unclear, but what happened was the district court considered...
Does it really matter? I mean, haven't we just discussed the eligibility of this, and don't we have to determine all this ourselves anyway?
I would agree with that. I would only come in...
I mean, you don't want us... I mean, it seems a peculiar way the district court did it. But I assume neither parties wants us to, well, maybe your friend does, but to send it back for another try when most of this is on us anyway.
I would agree with that, Your Honor. And Wiesner has not relied on any of the specific allegations in the second amended complaint as raising a fact issue. They're no different than what he claimed about the specification, namely that using this sort of conventionally collected data and search results is a novel idea. The court has no further questions.
We thank you, Mr. DeBoer.
Thank you.
Mr. DePretor, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. The first thing I'd like to address is the idea of whether there's specific code in the patents to implement the all the steps that are set forth in the 905 patent. And the case law is fairly clear that you don't have to actually set forth the specific coding that you would need to implement a computerized application if you have a claim that utilizes computers. And that is the case of Robotics Visions via View Engineering, where the Federal Circuit said when the disclosure of software is required.
But there's a line, right? I mean, clearly you don't need to attach the code.
Right.
But clearly just saying implement this abstract idea on a computer is not good enough, Alice, right? So
right.
We're trying to find a line in between.
And I think that the 905 patent does that by going through and explaining exactly, number one, how you collect the data with the various structures that are required for individuals and vendors to exchange the data that's required to implement the overall method, and then going through the specific steps that will provide the ultimate result of the better search, which is you have to, once you've gone to the physical locations and collected the necessary data that's going to be used in the search, a person runs the search, and then it looks at the other
members. Let me ask you this hypothetical. Assume, and I know you don't want us to, but assume we find all of your other patents, except the one we're talking about, ineligible. So the notion of collecting geographic data and stuff like that is an abstract idea, which is a building block for this one. Mm-hmm. If all of that other stuff is abstract and not eligible, then what does this add to all of those abstract ideas and their use of conventional phones and computer equipment to make this eligible?
And I think it's the technological improvement that is the ultimate result of the improved search that is
I'm struggling, and I know you're struggling too. This is frustrating for all of us. But you're answering in ways that don't actually say anything to me other than combining all of these abstract ideas together somehow yields a non-abstract result.
Are you trying to say that even if those other claims are directed to an abstract idea, this is more than the abstract idea. There's an inventive concept of actually using physical location data in a specific way in order to obtain an improved search result.
Yes, that by the time you get to the bottom and you perform all of the steps of the method, that ends up with the improved search result that combined it results in something that is invented that
are
does
all the steps above abstract. This is, I think this is a hard issue for the court, and I don't know that we have actually resolved it. But if you have four different abstract ideas, and you say, I'm combining these four abstract ideas, and that yields a patent-eligible result, do you think that's possible? Or is that just patenting for abstract ideas in combination?
No, I do think that that's possible, because as you become more narrow, it becomes less abstract. So,
why is it less abstract? Isn't it just a more specific abstraction?
I don't think so, because of the order combination. And because what Enfish says
why?
At a high level, if you look at any claim, you could say it's abstract by generalizing it. And that's the danger that the court in Mayo and Enfish
recognize. Yeah, but when we get beyond that, we see that there's something that's actually non-abstract, not just an accumulation of abstract ideas.
And that comes from the specific order in which these steps are carried out. I think that end result, just like in Deere, where it's, there's nothing non-abstract about taking measurements. There's nothing non-abstract about ascertaining variables or even putting them through the specific mathematical formulation that was in Deere, or automatically opening a mold. Those are all just abstract concepts. But when you put them all together in a specific order and do them in those steps, you end up with this improved rubber. And I think it's a very similar situation here, where as you perform each of the steps in the order combination.
I guess my problem is, and I think it's everybody would, or most people would agree, maybe outside the Supreme Court, that there's some tension, though, between Deere and Alice, because isn't Alice a set of very specific steps about how to do intermediated settlements? And why isn't the argument you're telling me now, based upon Deere, also applicable to Alice?
Wasn't there evidence in Alice that those prior steps had been actually performed in the past, and this was just now doing it on the computer? I think there was...
In Alice, yes. There was just a ledger.
And it was, all that was conventional, and it was just do it on a computer.
Right.
And is there any evidence that what is being done here in order to obtain an improved internet search result is conventional?
No.
Would you look at these method steps and say that that is the algorithm?
I think that when you read it in totality, yes. It gives you the steps that you need to gather the variables that you are going to input, and then it tells you exactly how to input those variables.
Those steps are in an ordered process, correct?
Correct, and you have to follow them in order to ultimately be satisfy the claim. And there's there's multiple
so
other ways.
So if those were conventional steps, then it wouldn't be patent eligible. If the idea of intersecting, geographic data between the user and other people, if those were conventional, is that what your argument turns on, is that these are not conventional ways about getting information on locations and ranking people's preferences?
No, this point is that the totality, so all of them together. Because
every time you say the word totality, you lose me.
I'm sorry.
I'm just not, because I'm still confused. I'm not going to belabor the point. But what's the difference between putting together a bunch of conventional steps, putting together a bunch of unconventional steps, even though they're abstract? Aren't they the same thing? I mean, they're not, just because you've come up with a new abstract idea and it may be unconventional doesn't mean it's eligible.
I think when it yields unique results that have an improvement over the technology that's being addressed, it does.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.